Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Water Polo Expert Talk podcast. Yeah, today we are already on episode 24, and today I welcome in the podcast Dragan Jovanovic. Dragan is an ex-goalkeeper from Serbia, and he was also the head coach of the Canadian national team. So today Dragan is the executive director of the World Water Polo Coaches Association, and we talked about the mission of this association and also about all the several difficulties we have right now during the pandemic and how to come out of these stressing situations at the moment. So, Dragan, so thanks for your time today, for joining as the next international guest in our podcast. So I'm really happy to have you here with me today. So good morning again to the US, I guess, you are located at the moment.
Good morning to you too. Thanks for the invitation. It's my pleasure, you know, to be a part of this podcast. And these podcasts, you know, like, and people who are reporting about water polo, you know, like, and following water polo are something that is really, really needed in our sport. And we can continue with that, you know, like, later on. But it's something that is missing. And I was really happy, you know, when I've seen first few of those podcasts. I'm located in Canada. I live in Canada for 20 years. I was head coach of the senior men's team, of the Olympic team. So for years, and the high performance director, sport director, up until 2014. And then I continued, you know, with my own company, providing everything, you know, like for water polo in the whole world, you know, so everything with water polo can offer.
Yeah. So, what is your impression? So, what was the feeling for you coming to Canada? So, because Canada is not really known for water polo history, let's say that way. When you come from Europe or from Yugoslavia or from Serbia with your experiences, what was your first feeling coming to Canada?
Quite honestly, it was a hard adjustment. There's no doubt about it. Definitely, there are people who love this sport here in way less numbers than in Europe, I would say. There are talented people also. Just the whole environment is not water polo environment, I would say. And that was the water polo culture wasn't the same. You know, people weren't thinking, you know, like about water polo as a professional sport. They were more thinking, you know, about water polo in a manner of fun, you know, and just keeping kids out of the trouble, you know, like, and doing some activity. So that was the biggest challenge, you know, and the biggest difference for me to adapt, you know, and try to change that, you know, like over the years.
Yeah. So I get, to be honest, at least somehow the same feedback from Elvis Fatovic, by the way, who says said to me during our episode of the podcast, it was a challenge at the beginning because, as you mentioned, it's really somehow different from the professional way or thinking that water polo is somehow also a sports for professionals, and it's not only fun. And this is really the to change the behavior was at the beginning really the biggest challenge, not really the sport things. So it was really the behavior or the way people know or think about water polo in this country.
And that is 100% correct. You know, Elvis and I talk often. We are ex teammates, you know, from back in 80s, you know,
back to the good old days.
Yes, back to the good old days when we could travel, you know.
So but by the way, so when we are at the moment by in the good old days, so what you were a goalkeeper, right? So what was your let's say, experience during all the tournaments and games you collected during these long period of time?
Yes, I was a goalkeeper. I was born and raised in Serbia. My home club is Partizan from Belgrade, and I played until 2000. And I've also played for all youth national teams of former Yugoslavia, and then played for a senior national team from 1997 to 2000, and then moved to Canada. So Elvis is one of people, you know, like that we share the same past, you know, like and friendship, you know, and those good old days, you know, stories, you know, like and everything else, you know, like I mean, it was a beautiful time, you know, definitely a beautiful time. Young, you know, like all world in our hand, you know, pretty much. And we did what's the most important, you know, what I'm realizing now, you know, like as being older, is we did throughout our lives, you know, like we did what we loved, you know. And I don't think that many people in the world have that opportunity, you know. So that was our career, but it's not our career, you know, like it was our love, you know. And to be able to support yourself and do what you love is, for me, is the most important thing, you know. And I'm one of the lucky ones, fortunate ones, you know, who still does the same, you know. And I'm very grateful for that, and that's how I raise my kids also. So telling them, you know, like to, yes, of course, you know, chase their dreams, you know, but just make sure you do what you love, you know, like, because otherwise, you know, like I really don't see the purpose, you know, like, and that would be a kind of a miserable life, you know. Yeah. So we played, you know, like we competed. Sport built in us many of the good character, you know, like, and the it was great, you know, like great, you know, for seeing the world, you know. One of the things that sport brings, you know, like, and again, you know, like I didn't really realize that until recently. My daughter graduated here in Canada at McGill University, and she had some exchange in Barcelona of 8 months, you know, like going there to school, and now she lives in Madrid, you know, like I've traveled the world a little bit, not as much as I did, you know, but she does have that experience, you know, like, and every time, you know, like as a parent, of course, you know, like when she goes somewhere, I make sure, you know, like I give her a phone number of my friend, you know, like somewhere in the world, you know, like, and before she was going to Barcelona, I give her a couple of phone numbers, you know, just in case, of course, you know, like.
And So when you really have the network spreading all around,
exactly,
the world, you have the opportunity to that.
Exactly, you know, and that's the goal, you know, like from playing sport, you know, like she asked me something that I didn't even think about, you know, until she did ask me. She said, "Dad, is there any place in the world, you know, that you don't know someone?" You know,
and is there a place you don't know somebody?
Well, of course there is, you know, but there are many places I know people, you know, like, and I have friends, you know, like, and staying in touch with them, you know. So that network of people, you know, like, and knowing people from sport, that's a different world, and that's the most beautiful thing, you know, like that we have out of our careers and our life, you know, like, and you got in touch with me through a friend, you know, from Germany, right? Yeah. And you know, it's really something, you know, to take, you know, as a golden opportunity, you know, for all the kids for the future, right?
Yeah. So maybe two things to that. So first of all, is really the building the network during your career, so which is really beneficial then also after your active career, no? So these are really very important point on that. And the other thing is really to have the passion or to have the opportunity to do something you love. So in this case, it don't feel really like working. Yeah, so it's you do it from your heart or from with a passion, and then it's not really feeling so hard working.
Exactly, and I agree again. You know, one example of that is how I stopped my coaching career. You know, because I always told myself, and that's how I was raised through the sport. You know, do it with a passion or don't do it. You know, that's the sport. You know, also I think teaching jobs, you know, teaching kids in schools, either you have passion for that or you don't. You know, like I don't think that anyone can do that job for the money, you know, because there is no money that can pay, you know, like how much you're invested into that, you know, like, so I so was
in both situations or both jobs. So as a coach and as a teacher, you would recognize then when somebody's not really do it with passion.
Agreed. You know, like, and that's something, you know, that I was trying to transfer, you know, to the players as well. When I was coaching them, you know, like on a daily basis during the practice, you know, like, so either you come to the pool with a huge desire that you want to get better, you know, like every single day, or you move on, you know, like you do something else, you know, that you love, you know, like, and I was really pointing that out, you know, like every single day. And that's how I behaved as well. You know, like I always tried, you know, to be a leader by the example, you know. So 2010, after 10 years with the national team, and you have to understand, you know, like in Canada, like coaching national team is not like coaching in Europe. You know, like in Europe we have coaches, you know, like senior national team coaches who are just coaches, and they have everything else. They have other people, you know, who are doing that for them and for the team. You know, they have the whole team, you know, like everything else. I faced a situation when I became a head coach of Canadian men's senior team, 2004. I had two coaches for the whole men's national team. So the cadet, youth, junior, senior, and one person in the office.
Mm-hmm. And that's about it. Which is not really, really enough.
No, it's not enough, you know. So you end up doing absolutely everything, you know. I'm sometimes, you know, joking, as I was a mom and dad, you know, to those players, you know, like and to the program, you know, like and after 10 years, you know, like of doing that, I was really burned out, you know. And one morning, you know, I showed up at the pool, and I thought, like, what's wrong, you know, like. What is wrong with me? You know, like I don't feel that passion anymore. I don't feel that desire anymore, you know? And that is the moment when I decided that after 2012, I will stop coaching. Because I didn't have the same desire, you know, like for that anymore. And I didn't want to do it just to do it, you know, just for a title, you know, just to do it. And that's where in Federation we started to discuss, you know, like of some restructuring, you know, like, and that's how I became 2012 became the sport director, you know, like of the federation, you know, like moved on, you know, like to other role, you know, like which I had a passion for, you know, like I had a passion, you know, for water polo. I still do, but I didn't have a passion, you know, like of being at a pool deck every single day, you know, like and giving my 100%. And that was the moment, you know, to stop, you know, to stop doing that.
So which is, by the way, very interesting, because I have a discussion with Armando Fernandez some days ago, and he told me exactly the same. So he knows exactly more or less the day on the situation where he thinks or come to the pool and say, okay, something is different. So I do not have really, he mentioned not the passion, but in his case, it was the fun. Yeah. So he needs fun in the pool and with the other guys together to play water polo with the other guys. And this moment he comes to the pool and this feeling was not really there. The fun was gone.
So that's correct.
Really the moment where he thinks, okay, something is different. Maybe I have to change something.
That's correct. Those are those moments, you know, but I honestly think, you know, that we are fortunate enough, you know, through our sporting career and raised through the sport. Yes, of course, parents, you know, like in school, you know, like, but the amount of time that we spent, you know, like together, you know, like with the team and at the pool or traveling, you know, like is the most time in a day, you know, like in a month, in a year, and probably the biggest chunk of building our character, you know, like through the sport, you know, like, and that's how we were raised. It doesn't matter if you're from Spain, you know, like, or Serbia or Germany or any other country, you know, like, if you're in a sport, and it doesn't matter which sport, you know, like, all the sports, you know, like, are building that character, you know, like, and the some values that stay for life, you know, and that's something beautiful. That's something really, really, really good.
Yeah, so you mentioned then at the beginning that you would then build your own company or go on with your own company as the CEO of that. So what is this company about? Maybe you can give us some more information about that.
Sure, no problem at all. Imagine water polo as a sport in between federation, in between club, and in between companies, you know, who are surrounding the sport. So everything that you can imagine, you know, like from those three entities, you know, like I do with my company. So from consulting, of course, from having my own club with a partner in California, from organizing events, from developing environment and structure, you know, like in certain countries, you know, for development of the sport, from broadening, widening, you know, the opportunity, you know, for the kids in some countries, you know, in water polo when they're young, leading as an executive director, leading World's Water Polo Coaching Association, then distributing, you know, also my company is distributor of Mountain products, which I'm pretty sure you're aware of. Kep 7 products and Turbo products, you know, so absolutely everything that exists in water polo sport that is connected to water polo sport, I turn that into the company, and it's a balance in between developing, providing services, you know, for young athletes, you know, who are in need of those services, you know, in water polo world, and the business side as well, you know, so it has to kind of balance out, you know, like to be valuable, you know, but from the other side, you know, to make any financial sense, you know.
So it's an end-to-end, let's say, end-to-end or full service.
Yes.
Company agency in terms of water polo.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Yes, the discovery, like all the spectrum of the services, you know, like in water polo.
So, which reminds me somehow in some aspects and some areas on the Tony Azevedo stuff. So with his company, so it goes maybe in the same direction. Is that correct? Maybe he doesn't cover really the business area and the other area regarding products, maybe, but he's really growing at the moment. I have the feeling, at least.
Yes, it's going in a similar area. Funny enough, you know, Tony and I were partners. So, I think 2014. I started my company in 2014 in January, and 2014 or 2015, we partnered, you know, like over, like in my company with a few projects, you know, like and those kind of things, you know. Then 2016, when he stopped playing, you know, then we split apart, you know, like he went his way, you know, like I went, mm-hmm. I went my way. So it is similar, but it's also different, you know. Yeah. He focuses on those camps quite a bit. What I see, I don't do camps, because not that there is no need, you know, for sure, but I don't want to enter, you know, into something, you know, that is covered already. Yeah. So the main goal I have is to trying to find a gap in a country or in a world, some missing link, something that is not provided, and then I bridge that gap, you know, with a project, you know, like that, create, envision, create, you know, like and provide, you know. Yeah. So that's basically what I do.
So I found a very interesting statement somewhere in a previous interview where you said, okay, North America needs a Michael Jordan of water polo. So regarding idols and looking up to somebody, is it at the moment so still the case that North America, Canada, USA needs really somebody like Michael Jordan to look up?
Yes, you know, like you just, you know, that quote is from quite a few years ago, I think. 5, 6, 7 years ago. And as everything else, you know, like evolving over the time, you know, like and having different experiences, you know, that's how I evolve as well. You know, like there is a step before that, which I think it's needed, not just for North America, you know, but the for the whole world. And this is something, you know, that we talk, you know, with Coaching Association. This is something that we talk, you know, like on a Zoom call, especially in the last 10, 11 months, when everything stopped, you know, like, and we had more time, you know, to discuss those kind of things, you know, and what should be a future of water polo, you know, like, and me, as I explained to you, trying to find the gap and the need for the sport, and then trying to envision a program which will bridge that gap, you know, like, that's how we came to conclusion that for water polo to move forward, the most important thing is to have another market. Market meaning Europe is one market. and those European leagues and national leagues, you know, and how water polo has been developed and how it's running right now. I'm not saying is it good or bad, you know, like is it better, was it better before or better now, or we're not getting into the discussion right now. You know, it just, it's a market, you know, and that's a fact. And there is no other market, you know. So what I see happening in the last, I would say, 10 years, maybe 15 years, that market is sleeping, let's put it that way. And for a business to, again, be motivated and to move forward, I truly believe, you know, that another market is necessary. Is that North American? Is that Asian market? Is that Australian market? It doesn't really matter. Another market is absolutely necessary to be competitive with European market. Yeah. And when I say competitive, you know, like I don't mean in a bad way at all. I mean in a healthy way, you know. And unless we have something like that, I don't think that water polo will move forward from this moment, especially during this crisis, you know, like a pandemic, you know, like everything else, and financial crisis right now that I don't think we feel all the bad stuff, you know, from last 10 months, you know, like I think it will come to us, you know, eventually when pandemic is over, you know, like, and of all industries in the world, in every single country, sport comes last, you know. And when I say sport, you know, like it's, I don't mean football, European football, or I don't mean NBA or football in North America. Those are like industries on its own. I wouldn't put them under sport industry, you know, like, yeah. I mean everybody else, even basketball, you know, like in Europe, which is huge, you know, like it will feel, you know, these financial consequences in the time to come, you know. And for smaller sports, it will be very, very, very difficult, very difficult. Yeah. And for that reason, even more important, you know, to create another market, you know, for water polo.
Yeah, so especially maybe not really for the moment right now, so where we are in the situation where anything is anyway stopped. But as you mentioned, maybe then for the time after this pandemic, where we have to restart all the whole stuff, and then we have to have some process progress at the end. So then after the end, so we will lose kids, we will lose fan base, we will lose clubs, whatever. So money. Don't speak about money at the moment, but it's really a hard time at the moment. So you already mentioned the last 10 months where you spent most of the time during Zoom or online meetings, I guess.
Yes.
And you also mentioned World Water Polo Coaches Association. So maybe let's talk about this, because I think this is really, from my perspective, really a very interesting area or activity at the moment, where it needs really some improvement for the future. And I guess this is really the basic idea about this association.
Yes, the association was established 2015 officially, but I have to say this is not the first time that water polo coaches got
I think even third.
Okay. You know, like there were those kind of associations, you know, in the past, and great coaches were part of that. You know, like the issue always was, you know, that coaches did not have the time, you know, and that we needed some kind of financial support, you know, like to have someone who will run that, you know, like, and for basic financial needs, you know, like just the keeping up, you know, with the website, you know, like, and doing the projects, you know, those kind of things, you know. So nothing, we're not talking about a lot of money, you know, like, so basically, you know, we re-established that coaching association. It's running from 2015, and I have to say, first of all, people have to understand what our mandate is, you know, like what our vision is, you know, like we are not, and why am I saying this, you know, just because I'm getting a lot of inquiries in this regards. Why are we not doing more on a social media, you know, like, and news and those kind of things, you know, like about water polo. Well, first of all, you know, we're not news agency. You know, that wasn't our mission, our vision at all. We're the coaching association with two main goals, you know, providing educational material and components, you know, for the coaches all around the world. And another one is to have our voice, you know, and to mm-hmm. when water polo is shaping one or the other way. And I have to tell you that we're really, really extremely happy, you know, how we've done in the last 5 years. And why is that? For example, we're just doing the one really big project for Saudi Arabia Swimming Federation, because water polo is under swimming, and that's connected to their Ministry of Sport, where we are going to develop specific water polo curriculum for their coaches, where we're going to provide, you know, like with video clips, you know, for every single item from the curriculum, you know, and we're going to create the certification program for their national federation. And that's a huge work, you know, like it's mm-hmm. 4 or 5 months, you know, like every single day working on that. So that's for example, is something, you know, that we see the need, you know, like for our association, you know, to provide those services based on our experience and knowledge, you know, because don't forget, you know, we have, if not all, the most of the best coaches in the world are part of our board. So that's one thing. Another thing, I'm not sure how much you're aware, but there were two really breaking moments for water polo. One was, if I remember good, 2016, when there was initiative from FINA to cut down, you know, water polo to men's water polo to be played, you know, like with a small ball, with I think it was 5-on-5 small goals. That was a huge initiative, you know, right at the General Congress, FINA General Congress, you know. And on the other side, there was initiative, you know, to put number of women teams at the Olympics, you know, like to 12, to be equal, you know, with men, which we completely agreed with that idea, but we didn't agree, you know, that should be done in a way that men's teams have less players and less teams most of all. But that was on the table, and I have to tell you, I was at those meetings, surrounded with my colleagues, of course, huge water polo names, and what we were able to do is to stop two things: stop water polo becoming beach water polo, you know, with all these rules. And we stopped decreasing number of men's teams at the Olympic Games in order for women team to get the same number of teams. We had to compromise somehow. So that's where 11 players for the Olympics game came in. Thankfully, later on that was changed to 12 mm-hmm. players plus one who is going to be a substitution like every game, which in my mind is very acceptable. 13 and 14 would be perfect, no doubt about that. This is not a perfect situation, but if people know what was on the table, then this kind of compromise was huge.
The compromise at the end would work for everybody, maybe. Then.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so we got the women teams, you know, to 10, which is a huge step forward, and I'm really happy about that. And I think, you know, next. Step should be 12 teams, you know, and steps after that, you know, should be getting back, you know, to 13 players or 14 players or something like that, you know. So, that's one of the things, you know, that was done by our association, you know. Another thing, you know, like 2017, after FINA General Congress in Budapest at the World Championship, FINA water polo leadership has changed. And they have seen us, you know, like as a partner. And that's how we have been invited, you know, to a huge project of changing the rules, you know, like and trying to improve the game. And we have been part of that, you know, for, I would say, a year and a half, you know. And these new rules that are implemented now, you know, like and the regular rules, you know, right now, that process lasted maybe even 2 years. I can't remember, you know, like, and I think at least 5-6 of us from the association were involved in that as experts, you know, out of 12 people, let's say. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing. You know, we can discuss, you know, if rules are good or not, you know, like, or, you know, details, we can discuss that, you know, like, in that, you know, like, but I think, you know, for water polo, it was really, really important moment. Rules overall in general, in my mind and mind of most water polo people are good. Now, can we improve that? Absolutely. There is no doubt about it. Can we
maybe it's the same thing with the other thing you mentioned before. So when people are really know about what was on the table, then they could really live better with the compromise at the end.
Absolutely.
Which is also for the rules, maybe the fact.
Absolutely. Yes, for the rules, I have to tell you, it's the same thing. You know, we met first time in Barcelona 2018, first meeting, 12 of us. And we were in that room, I would say 10 to 12 hours a day, 3 days nonstop.
Okay.
And it was a
hard discussion.
Yes, hard and honest discussion, you know, like, and brainstorming, you know, brainstorming sessions. We came out with...
Your team and you, if I understand you correctly, then you really have the feeling or the understanding that you really have an impact on the other guys in the room.
Yes.
With your voice and your experience, right?
Yes. And the whole process, you know, like after those 3 days, you know, we came out with, I can't remember exactly, but in between 60 and 80 suggestions, recommendations, you know, for the new rules, 60 mm-hmm. to 80 new rules, you know, there was everything there. Like in those 60 new rules, you know, there was everything there. Good, bad, terrible, great, you know, like, I mean...
Yes, you mentioned it was only a brainstorming for this moment.
Yes, but that was a brainstorming session, you know, like, and we were able without experience, you know, like, and with some experience from the past with those new rules, because some of the coaches, you know, like from our board, they have tested some of those recommended new rules. They have tested them like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, and they had some data, you know, to that point. We were able to convince people, you know, like, which is what is good, what is bad. But also, I have to say, FINA people had some great ideas as well, you know, and things that few things that I didn't believe it would work, I see right now as working really well, you know. So it was a teamwork, right? Yeah. It was a teamwork, you know, like, and. And we're moving forward, you know, the bad part is, you know, that at those first meetings, you know, like about those rules, it wasn't a water polo rule session. It was a water polo in general session.
Yeah, and we discussed politics discussion maybe somehow.
Not that much politics, you know, we're trying to stay away of the politics, you know, but development of water polo was one. Rules, of course, two, marketing, three, competition structure, four, and on and on. The only thing, you know, that I'm not really satisfied, you know, like, is that we stopped at rules and that's it. So mm-hmm. I see a huge room for improvement for all the sport, not just through rules, you know, but everything else in the future. And I'm hoping, you know, that we will be in some kind of team, you know, with that kind of goal, you know, like in the near future, you know, like, and it doesn't have to be World's World Polo Coaches Association, whoever, you know, like, it doesn't really matter, you know, like, if FINA thinks, you know, that somebody else has more experience and can help them more, we're completely okay with that, you know, mm-hmm. like, we just want something to move forward, you know, yeah. to other paths, you know, other sides of water polo, which are making the whole picture.
Yeah, so when you say, okay, the basic idea, the core idea about changing the rules or engaging or enlarging the rules or whatever, thinking about the rules as such, is really to make it more attractive for the media, so for the television, for the internet, for the streaming, for the fans. Do you think this is really working at the moment? So based on your experience and the new rules, so is it more attractive now?
Well, that's a complex question.
This is maybe also a question of the perspective then of each of us, maybe.
Yes, it is. Of course, it is. You know, like, but I see that you know, like, more as something that I mentioned before. I don't see that rules as rules will make this sport will be an area the only area that will make this sport more attractive. I think that all the other areas are interconnected, you know, like with the rules. And I think, you know, that we started really well, but we didn't continue, at least so far.
Yeah, so the rules is maybe then only one aspect out of the area or universe maybe possible things we can do to improve water polo and make it more attractive for everybody else.
Absolutely. There is no doubt about that. You know, like how I see it, you know, like rules, yes. So we finished the first job, even though there is more, you know, like those rules, you know, have to be monitored, you know, like and data has to be collected, you know, like, and it has to be analyzed, you know, like over 2, 3, 4 years, you know, like, and then see, you know, where we're at, and then maybe recommending, you know, like some changes, little tweaks, changes, or adding something else, you know, that we think, you know, like will work well, you know, like with a package of 20 new rules that we introduced. But also, I'm a strong believer, you know, that no matter how much we change the rules and no matter what kind of rules we have, if you don't have marketing evolved, nobody will know. It will be you and me who know, you know, like and water polo people. But you know what? You and me, we were at the pool even before the Euros. So we didn't reach anybody new, you know, like so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think in this case, this marketing area and to make it more attractive, maybe it's not only the responsibility of the rules. Yeah, so the rules are not really make it attractive, because attractive is then around the pool.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, like and the goal with the rules was to clean the game. That was the main goal, to clean the game, because game became, you know, too heavy, you know, and too catchy, you know, like too dirty, you know, like where referees, even though, you know, I'm the coach, of course, you know, so for me, you know, like I see refereeing different, but I have to tell you, after those 2 years, you know, being in process, you know, like of recreating those rules, poor referees. I mean, like what do you do when you have two guys of, I don't know, 110 kilos, you know, like 190 or 2 meters tall, you know, like in the pool, and and they hold each other and beat each other up. Like, what do you call? Whatever you call, it's going to be a wrong decision for someone.
it's 100%. The natural thing. Yeah, so
absolutely,
it's not fine for everybody at the end.
no, you know, so that was the goal. You know, like the goal was, you know, to clear the game. And I think we made a step forward. You know, like is there more to be done? Absolutely, there is no doubt about that. You know, I see FINA is doing those clinics, you know, quite often. You know, like, and they introduced, which I applaud them on that. They introduced video sessions. This is what I know. They introduced video sessions and educational sessions before every tournament and after each day. So at night, when referees finish their work, you know, at a pool, they go in a room and they discuss and analyze refereeing from that day. Okay. And that's the right thing to do. That's absolutely the right thing to do, because players and coaches do the same, you know, and that's a professional way of doing. However, it will take a lot of time for most of the referees around the world to go through that, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's a long process, you know. Yeah. And something, you know, that we have to be patient with. But I see a good trend. I really do see a good trend.
Yeah, so I found some very interesting slides, I guess, from you or from one of the events of this association, where they stated out the required elements of successful change for this water polo area or water polo sports. So maybe we can go through this aspects or required elements for the moment. So where we have the first one is incentives and motivation. Yeah, so which is absolutely normal that somebody needs some motivation. Yeah,
absolutely.
Skills and vision. Yeah, so and this is maybe some or also some areas or very important areas where I have the feeling or the impression over the last couple of years, everybody is really working on that. So that we have a vision and really to enhance the skills of each player, regardless of the age. So. Which one of these elements are really the most important point from your side?
I don't think we can separate, you know, like any of them. I think as a package, you know, like they're all really important, you know. And one more is passion, as we discussed at the beginning, you know. So without that passion, you know, there is no moving forward. But also, if you have a passion and you don't have a vision, you won't move forward. You know,
like, so and this is really the case for everybody, yeah? So when you do not have any vision as a club or as a player or as a coach or as a...
Yes, yeah. As a leader, you're like, off. Is it the club? Is it the federation? Is it the association? Is it whatever? You're like, as a leader, you're like, you have to have a passion. You have to have a vision. You have to have a skill. You have to have education, like, and everything else. You're like, and that's a process. You know, nobody's born with that, you know, like... Yeah, so that's all the process, and that is why I always highlight the importance, you know, like of youth sport. You know, youth sport is the future. You know, it's absolutely the future. You'll see, for example, after this terrible pandemic and 10 months, you know, like of doing nothing, and we'll see if Olympics are a go or no go. But after the Olympics, so. Let's say in a fall this year or next year, I expect, you know, a huge decrease of quality of water polo. Huge decrease. Situation is as it is, tough for everyone. There was a number of players who planned to retire after the Olympics last year. Mm-hmm. So they're postponing that for another year. This pandemic, I believe, will show us, you know, that some other players will find some other interests and we will lose them. So there will be way bigger gap, you know, to fill in on a senior level. Is it a club or is it a national team or whatever level with young players? And I predict, you know, that in that moment, we will see the biggest decrease in water polo or even which will be the worst situation for our sport. The biggest gap, even bigger gap in between top countries and everybody else. Even bigger gap, you know, which is really not good, really not good.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned the situation that it's not really the it's a hard situation. Yeah. So everybody has stopped everything. So where we have at the moment also the situation that good countries are already qualified for the Olympic Games, and for example Germany is really playing the tournament at the beginning of this year in Rotterdam. So nobody knows if this tournament is happening. Nobody knows if the Olympics is happening. So, and this is really, I guess, really strange and hard situation for them. So at least also for any other country attending these tournament.
Absolutely. And not just for those countries, you know, who are attending the tournament. I think it's even worse, you know, for countries, you know, who are below that level.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, and on the way to the Olympic Games last year, Germany was really on the good path. Yeah.
Yes. So, and they were stopped. So far, Rotterdam is happening. That's what I know. So far, Rotterdam is happening. However, there are some strange things happening in the last 2-3 days, you know, as I'm sure you're aware. With all these medias who are promoting the idea of Olympics being canceled, I would say. And I have to say promoting, because I don't think there is a substance behind that. From what I know. I know that IOC is firm, you know, that Olympics will happen. Which way, we don't know. I don't think they know either, you know, like they're waiting, you know, to see how vaccination will
happen. So what I read during the last couple of days is really that they're declining, everything goes as a rumor around. So this is not official
and it is a rumor. I know for a fact, you know, because I know of some communication in between IOC and international federations, you know, and accreditations, you know, like in which way, you know, they're moving forward, you know, like, and on and on and on, you know, like, so it, everything else, it is a rumor, you know, like, and I just don't understand whose interest is, you know, like to spread those rumors, you know, like that, you know, like, and in today's world, you know, like this crazy world, you know, like where you read something and you have to ask yourself, you know, like, is this true or not? You know, like, we came to that point in a sport as well. You know, like,
So you have to find out or to think for yourself, is it a rumor or is it true? Exactly. Or it comes from somebody I can trust.
Exactly. So
this is, at the end, maybe the best source of truth, maybe when it's somebody you really trust in, then it might be the fact. It's not a rumor, but maybe this one is also only delivering the message, so, or forwarding something. So maybe just come back to the elements. So I have found also communication, action plan, and resources. Yeah. So and financing and so on. So these are also three elements of these slides regarding the required elements of successful change for water polo. And financing, you already mentioned. Yeah. So it's not really the high amount of money in most cases, but you need to have some financial background and foundation.
You do, and this is something I learned when I left federation, because it's a natural process, you know. Like when you're working for a federation, for most of the federations, and I'll give you one example, like a really good example, just in a bit. But for the most, when you're working for the most of all federations are relying on government money, and part of your brain doesn't think how those finances, you know, will be created. You're just waiting for a budget, and that's the system. So when I moved away of the federation and created my company, I had to think the same way, but also I had to change my way of thinking. So all those services that I'm providing, how am I going to make it financially viable, which is completely different way of thinking, totally different way of thinking. You know, like now you have to create a project that there is a need for that, but that also will make some money, because otherwise you're like, in my company I don't have government behind me, you know. So you just have to do it. And I have to give you one excellent example, and I don't think that people from Europe see that in the right way. I don't think that people from Europe, from Whirlpool at least, understand U.S. Water Polo Federation. And why am I saying this? U.S. Water Polo Federation, from what I know, and I know quite a bit about that, is funded, I think, 80% or even 90% from their own sources. They get a little bit of money from UC Olympic Committee. They don't get any money from Ministry of Sport or government or none, zero, absolutely zero. A little bit of money from U.S. Olympic Committee, and most of that little bit of money goes to women senior team, you know, like because of their results. So they just had to, in last, I would say, 10, 15 years, they had to figure out a way how to fund it themselves, which they did.
So, which is maybe, by the way, not the bad way, yeah? So, because they have maybe a better improvement or development of their national teams, at least.
You know what? Is that reflected to a national team or not? We can say yes and no. You know, like there is more work, you know, to be done on that level, you know, in that pipeline, you know, like in the creating the opportunity, you know, for those senior athletes, you know, to stay around, not to finish when they're 22, when they finish the university, you know, like and go away and start working, you know, like, so creating that opportunity. So of course, you know, like as in any other federation or organization, you know, like there is a lot of room for improvement. There is no doubt about that. What I take my hat off for those people is how they create a structure to be financially independent, mm-hmm. and to support all of their programs and all of their actions in the federation by their own financial resources. You know, is that fundraising? Is that creating a program that will make some money that will be transferred, you know, to national team, not necessarily senior national team? Mm-hmm. You know, funding, you know, some of the youth national teams, which probably people don't even know, because they still, parents still pay big amounts, you know, like for those trips, you know, like in competition, you know, when your son or daughter is, I don't know, like youth or junior level, but they don't know that U.S. Water Polo is putting a lot of money on, like, in that program, you know, so that the bill wouldn't be even bigger.
Right. Yeah, so when you're really, what you're saying, when you are really independent from a financial point of view, then you are really free in what you're doing or planning or developing or whatever. Yeah, so you're not really responsibility for the feedback to your sponsors. Absolutely. Maybe that's it, but not for the government.
Absolutely. And those people are, you know, that they don't wait for a government because they know they will not get the money. You know, like, so their brain and creativity and a vision has to be completely different, you know, than 99.9% of the federations, you know, in the world, you know. Yeah. So I think it's a great example for everybody, especially in these times of pandemic, because we can all expect, and I had a few calls, you know, with top people of our sport, you know, from the world about this topic. We can expect, you know, that after pandemic, water polo will be in a really, really, really tough financial situation. You know, when government has to take care of the healthcare first, you know, which was damaged during this time and show the cracks and big gaps, you know, like to cover. Then economy, you know, then different industries, you know, like, and people living, you know, like, and all other social aspects. Sports will be last, absolute last. So.
Yeah. Which is a fact right now anyway, yeah? So sports is really not possible, at least in Germany. There are few sports, so like soccer or so. Everything else is stopped. Nobody can go to practice, competition, tournament, whatever. So sports, culture, theaters, cinemas, whatever.
Yes, absolutely. There is no doubt about that, you know. So my point is that people have to start thinking different way. Financial resources, you know, to run those federations or clubs. Because otherwise, you know, like I see that many of them will not survive. You know, just won't survive, you know, unfortunately, you know, but this is a extreme situation and extreme things are happening, you know. So the sooner people start thinking different way, trying to find creative ways, you know, like of making money for that federation or for a club, and restructuring those organizations, the sooner they do that, you know, the better will be, definitely.
Yeah. So, and this is really, again, covering all the aspects we mentioned before. Yeah. So it's not really the financial area. So the financial stuff, but because it's also the organizational stuff, the skills, vision, whatever you tell it. So, it's really the package of all these kind of areas and action points, pain points, maybe at the moment for some countries or clubs, that they will have to cover these things as a whole. Yeah? So not one of these aspects only.
I would say you're correct 100%, and I would say for people to understand a little better, right now, water polo federations and clubs, you know, are thinking government way, and the sooner they start thinking business way, the better will be. Mm-hmm. And that business way is circled with all of those aspects, small aspects, you know, that we just discussed. You have to, like, we have to change the way we think, you know, like, and we treat those federations and the clubs, you know, like how we see them, you know, like
I think it's really then the challenging time ahead of us. So with all these things,
you know what? Yes, challenging, but for me, challenge is fun.
Yeah,
that is. Challenge is an opportunity to do something extraordinary that not really everybody can do it. And for me, that's fun. You know, that's the challenge. You know, when you say challenge, you know, like my eyes open wide. You know,
like, yes, an opportunity should not be only negative thing, but it's also what you're meaning. It's a positive thing to change that in a positive way.
Absolutely, and I truly believe, you know, that our sport, you know, can, if guided properly, if leaders understand, you know, what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, and they have a passion at first, you know, like as we said, then we can come out of this pandemic, you know, like in a much better way and shape, you know, than we were before. Yeah. If not, then it will be what will be, right? So
yeah. So in this case, I would cross my fingers that we are coming out in a good way out of this pandemic and learn something from the past and really prepare to be good prepared for the challenges ahead of us.
Me too. Absolutely. and I have a choice.
Yeah. So thanks for your time. So I wish you all the best for the next couple of actions on your schedule. So stay safe, first of all. So this is the main thing at the moment, I guess, for everybody from us. So stay safe and healthy. So thanks for your time again.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and for the invitation. It was my pleasure.
Yeah,
really my pleasure. So, and I wish you to continue with this, you know, so not to stop, you know, once pandemic is over, don't stop, please, you know, because we need more of this. Absolutely more of this.
Yeah, so the plan is to continue with that, yes.
That's excellent. And maybe in a year we can discuss again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So maybe when you come to Hanover, so to the final eight. So I don't know if it's happened. So
maybe we have the same situation
and discussion like we have for the Olympics. So nobody is really knowing if it's happened here.
That's true. And if it's happening, you know, like I will be there definitely, and it will be my pleasure to see you again. So stay safe, you know, and stay healthy. And
thank you. Nice talking
to you.
Yeah. Thank you. And have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so thanks, Dragan, for all your insights about the really important work of the Trainer Association. And I hope you enjoy all the talk with me and Dragan. And I'm looking forward for the next episode. So in this case, stay safe and healthy as always. I would really like to have your feedback about your point of view regarding all the points Dragan pointed out. And until next time, see you soon. So, and last but not least, make sure you're following the Facebook fan page.